Isaiah chapter 1, and we're going to just read one verse, but there's a lot of things we don't understand, as we've already been hearing. But there's a responsibility that my brother has had, which he has fulfilled very well, and which we have here that are saved by grace. And that is to explain to you the gospel, to tell you essentially what we've experienced. We have come to know Christ as our Savior. We have come to know Him who is perfect and holy, and we don't understand everything about Him, but we are learning day by day because He gives us every reason to learn about Him, because He saved us by His grace. And He longs tonight to save you. He longs for you to understand where you are right now in view of what we've been hearing, eternity. Eternity, like you said, it's hard to explain. It's just something that time can't do it. We always like to measure things in time. It's like this long, and then it's going to be a longer yet. And then it's going to be longer yet, and then it never ends. Because eternity is something without end. A time, it can't even be defined with time. And you're right, we have a hard time explaining that concept to people. But we understand this, that if you're not right before you cross the article of death, before you end up at the end of your life, if you're not right with God and have come to know Him as your Savior, the Lord Jesus, if you have not come to know Him and experience the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you haven't experienced that, when you die, you will spend eternity apart from God, apart from what is good. And we say, as we point to the chart, which is explained in the Bible, that that place is called hell, and eventually you'll be brought before the great white throne. And there at the great white throne, you will be faced with books that will be opened. And one of those books is the book of life, and the Lamb's book of life. And your name won't be found in it. And the other book will be a book that will be opened that will contain all the works that you have done, all the wrongs that you have done, all the sin that you've accumulated. And as a result of your name not being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and a result of continuing in your sins up until the article of death, when you reach that article, and if you haven't turned to the Savior, then you will be, the Bible says, thrust forever, all eternity, into a lake of fire. Those are solemn words, but true words. That's why the Bible is very clear on individuals needing to repent. And repent's not a big word. It's not a difficult word. It's a word that means I need to see myself the way God sees me. It's a word that explains to us from the Word of God that we are the ones that are wrong and God is right concerning me. And I need to take that place with God, stating that I am guilty of my sin. I am guilty of what I have done in the face of God all my life. Up until I was 23 years of age, I sinned against God willfully, not knowingly, until it was brought to my attention by the Word of God. And when I found that out, I wasn't long in ending my arguments against God or ending my arguments on how I think I was going to get to heaven. And I had to believe and trust in what God said. So I repented. I saw myself the way God. In other words, I turned around and I faced myself with God and said, you're guilty. The Bible says it, declares it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse number 18 in chapter 1 of Isaiah says these words. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. What does he say then? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's another thing I don't really understand. I believe it. I understand a certain degree of it throughout what the scriptures teach. Is why God, who is so holy, and the older I get in Christ, the more I understand of God's true holiness. I can't get there. I fall short of really truly getting it. But he is so pure and without sin and so different than you and I. Actually, the book of Isaiah goes on to say in another portion that his thoughts aren't your thoughts, my thoughts. His thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so far above in his ways and thinking is to us. Is there just such a vast space in between? This is a God that we have to deal with. And he says in the word, it's very clearly stated, that behold, all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, we're going to deal with God. You and I will have to face God. Thank God, I, as well as my brother and those here in the meeting here tonight that are saved by God's grace, that have had that moment when we trusted Christ. He became our Savior. We have looked at our sins and said, my sins were worthy of being punished forever, for all eternity. That's the stand we took. That's repentance. And in that stand that we took, we had a moment when God revealed to us, because we declared to before God, we're lost. I can't do anything on my own. I can't get this. And it was in that moment, each one of us had our own personal experience that are saved by grace, that we understood one very simple truth. And that is, Jesus died for me. I do not have to face God and be punished for my sin. Because Jesus, there on the cross of Calvary, he faced God for me. And as we heard the words, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with the stroke of God, what came down upon Christ there at Calvary, because of what God did to his son there at Calvary in making him to be payment for sin, we can be healed. All we need to do is trust that finished work. All we need to do is understand first and foremost, take our sides, take the side of God against ourselves. And like those of us that have done that, we can praise God and be happy and joyful as we explain to you, and it's our responsibility to explain to you that you can have that same experience. You can know your sins forgiven. The verse is very clear. You know, there was an evangelist that wrote down what experience he had. He was actually invited to be on this radio program with this Christian, it was called the Christian Answer Lady. Anyways, she had all the answers. And as he was sitting there, he was just reflecting on everything she was saying as people would call into the radio station, ask her a question about some life matter, and she would give some nice little answer to try to help them through their problem. And as he was listening, he thought, there's not much about the Lord, and there's not much about the real problem of sin that she's coming back with. So he in one of their breaks, he said, do you mind if I ask you a question? Oh, sure, yeah, you can ask me a question. He said, how did you get to know God? How did you get to know God's salvation? How did you get this? Oh, he said, it was real. She said, oh, that was really quite something. One day, I got God's telephone number, and I've been communicating with him ever since. He was sort of stunned, and he sort of took a stand back, and he, huh? Oh, well, he said, and she looked at him, and he said, well, what do you mean? What do you mean, what I mean? What do you mean, what do I mean? You have no right to ask me that. I just gave you my answer. You should accept that. Oh, well, how did you get to know Jesus as your Savior? Well, I'm glad you asked. And he went into telling her what we're telling you now. And at the end of it, she said, oh, you don't have to go through all that, do you? Now, here's people in the world, and I'm telling you, you know it. There's religions out there. There's Christians out there that will claim the name of Christ, and yet they do not know Christ as their Savior. And they do not know how to explain to you, because there was never a moment in their life when they realized they were a sinner. And you ask people like this, and I've asked people, was there ever a time in your life, and I'll ask you right now in the meeting today, was there ever a time in your life when you were bad enough, that your sins were bad enough to take you to hell? And I've heard many answers, and most of them were this, well, no, I'm not that bad. You know, if you're thinking that way, that you're not bad enough to go to hell, you're not, that's pretty harsh language, isn't it? But let me put it to you this way. You're not good enough to get to heaven. You're not bad enough. Your sins are not bad enough to separate you from God forever. The truth of the matter is, they are. Because your sin is against God. Now, one of the things I've been amazed at in my life after I was saved, even looking back before I was saved, was the fact that this God, who is holy and just and right and so different than us, would actually want to have a one-on-one with individuals here in the meeting. He wanted a one-on-one with me. He wanted me, and here's how the verse goes, come now. Come now. So the first word we read in that verse is an invitation. Is God saying to individuals, I want you to come. I want you to come right to me. And come as you are, because right now, in your sins, you are a sinner in need of God's salvation. And those are the people he wants to come. And remember this, that the Lord Jesus says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. His promise to you is, I'm not going to turn you away. And Jesus Christ, as we see in the New Testament, countless times and times again, had went to people and asked them to come to him. The blind man, come. And he came. And there was others, the lepers. There were others that were sick and diseased, and they came, and he healed them. He made them right. And he said those glorious words that we've already been hearing. He had the ability to forgive sins. Only God can do that. He forgave them their sin. And what do we see here? He says, come. This is a God. But he's not saying tomorrow. The verse tells us now. Come now. Remember the verse? You've probably heard it in gospel meetings in the past, but it's in their Bible, and it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. It's imperative that you get right with God now. It's something that you should not ever put off. And so many people do, to their own downfall. You do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. I could be out into eternity, but thank God when I leave this world, I'm going to be with Christ. I'm going to be with Him because He saved me. We want you to be able to say that too. But He says, come now. And He says, let us reason together, saith the Lord. You know what the devil doesn't want? The world doesn't want? Is for you to think. We're saying this in Bible reading this morning, but there's a little word that says, it says muse, not amuse, but muse. And that word means to think. I want to tell you right now, God has given you a brain, use it. He wants you to use that mind of yours to delve into these things, to think about what's being said to you, because He wants you to carefully go over these words and to understand what God's message is for you. And we are trying to, with our ability to speak, and sometimes we do make mistakes in our words and sometimes we trip over our tongues, but we are trying with all our ability and might to be able to unfold this message to you as clearly as possible. We want you to understand what we're saying. We don't want you to go out of here confused, thinking, what was he talking about? We want you to understand that we were bringing your sin to the attention of yourself, that it's your sin that's the problem. Because God says here, let us reason together. See, He wants you and Him to sit down, as we would say in a conversation, if we were to sit back, somebody would stay behind for the after the meeting and want to discuss these things. And we'd sit down together in a chair. I'd be in one chair, you'd be in the other chair, and we would discuss this thing back and forth. You would have your questions, maybe you would have your statements, and we would discuss these things and we would unfold to you what the Bible says. And that's exactly what God wants to do with you. Let us reason together. And I've said this before. God doesn't beat around the bush with His message. He doesn't say something like, some people said, you know, how long, one pastor said to another pastor, how long when somebody's in your church and they're living in some immoral sin, or they're doing something that's drastically wrong and it's against the Scripture, how long before you go to that person and tell them about that? Oh, well, he said, probably a year or two at least. We want them to get comfortable with us first. God cuts to the chase. And when you come to a gospel meeting like this, you're going to hear about your sin. So God cuts to the chase and He goes immediately to the problem. But He goes to the problem and He gives you a solution. And that's our God. He gives us the problem that we cannot get out of. And He makes us to understand there is a solution that He has provided. And in this verse, he tells us, though your sins be as scarlet, it's a stain upon your life. Your sin has stained you. We often talk about the little boy that was out helping his mom and dad, or his dad out in the garage, and he was passing him the wrench, and he was saying, pass me this, and I'll show you how to fix this. And he's getting in there with his dad, and he's handing him this, and the grease gun, and everything else, and he's just right there helping his dad, eager to be helpful. And then his mom calls from the dining room window saying, hey, come on in. I need your help. Oh, right away, Mom. Dad, is it okay? Yeah, I got everything handled there. You go in and help your mom. Off he goes into the house and he starts helping his mom. Mom says, oh, what I want you to do, and you know how to do it. You know how we set. We're having special company tonight, so I want you to set the table just perfectly. You know, the china, the fine china, and the napkins in its place, and the glass over here, and the knives and forks, and all the silverware out. Everything's in place. And he says, you do that. Okay. And she goes off, and she's finishing up the meal, and she comes back in when he's done setting the table, and she goes, oh. And there's grease on every napkin, on every fork, on every plate, on every glass. You know that didn't happen. But the point is, he was stained. And everything he touched, although he tried his best and he did his best, it was stained from the grease that he got when he was out in the Father's garage. Your life, no matter how much good you want to try to do, is stained by sin. And everything you touch, even the very best things you do, the Bible's very clear on that. All our righteousnesses, which are the very best things that we can do, are as filthy rags. Because we've been touched, we're tainted with our sin. The sin stain is there. But he says this, white as snow. How do you get white as snow? The stains removed of sin. How do you get rid of that? We've been pointing you to Christ. We've been telling you about the solution. We've been showing you that he's the one that came to save his people from their sins. Your sins is the problem. And he's the one that went to the cross of Calvary, and he was the only one that could do something about our problem. That's our sin. And there on the cross, our Savior willingly, I can't imagine, this is another thing I can't imagine. Here's the Son of God from heaven willing to stretch out his arms so that nails can go through his hands and his feet. And there hanging up between the heaven and earth become the focus of all around him. And people were laughing at him. His creation was laughing at him. And there he was upon the cross, and then darkness came over the scene, and that's when God made him to be sin for us. And he was made answerable to God for sin, not his own, but ours. And there on the cross of Calvary, our Savior put away sin. It said in the scriptures, puts away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put away our sins. He satisfied the claims of God against sin. Something needed to die. A sacrifice needed to die for sin. A sacrifice needed to be punished. The wrath of God had to come down upon that sacrifice. And that sacrifice was the willing Lord Jesus Christ. And he was able to do this for us. And at the end of those dark hours, the Savior said, it is finished. So I want to tell you, friend, here tonight, that we have a God who invites, if you're not saved, he's inviting you to sit down with him. Hear what he has to say. Sit down with him. Reason together. Use your mind. Think about these things. And he's given you the faculty to be able to process this information so that you would understand where you are right now in your sins, so that you would be able to take sides with God and say, I'm a guilty sinner. But this is what we want you to say, like we've sung this hymn sometimes. I'm a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. He paid the price. May God bless you tonight. May God make you to understand these things. And again, I say, if you want to know any more, like there are some here and I'm willing, whatever, but to be able to sit down and talk with you about these this issue, because it's the most important issue you'll ever face. Where will you spend eternity? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow in your presence and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for the gospel that's been able to go forth tonight. And we pray for those in the meeting that still do not know the Savior. We pray tonight that they might get this matter settled. They might get to understand not only where they are in view of eternity, but about the one who came to die for them. We pray for them. We ask thy blessing now as we sing a hymn, and we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.